good morning, and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have lots and lots lined up today. Coming up at 10:33, Luke Mathers is going to be joining us to talk about the economic impact that Top Chef is having on Wisconsin. This is great news.
Yeah, that's wonderful news for Wisconsin.
Yep, it really is. And so we're going to kick that around a little bit, called traveling by fork. There are people who do that, I guess. That's a thing.
I mean, I do that.
Inadvertently.
Across the country, across the street. I love eating.
Wait, food is good.
Yeah.
Brittany Merlot will be here, our civic media meteorologist, at 10:50 to talk about the weather that we had over the weekend. There were five confirmed tornadoes and possibly six. And then we have more weather coming in tonight.
Yes.
Some places are so waterlogged, they really don't need any more rain right now.
And losing historic buildings in the process.
Yeah, there was an historic church in the little town of Argyle.
Yep.
That was destroyed. And again, we have more severe weather that's probably going to be coming sometime between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. when we're all sleeping. And they're talking about the potential for 70-mile-an-hour winds.
Good Lord. This
is a concern, but we will be keeping you posted about all of that. And Brittany will be joining us at 10:50 to talk about that. 11:06, Suzanne Yockey is the director of the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. And there has been a surge of interest for kids who want to study policies.
Mm, good.
This is good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And so she's going to join us to talk about why this is important, what this could mean, and what policies exactly are they studying.
There you go.
And then 11:33, sinkholes, why?
Just because? I don't know.
There's a sinkhole in Whitefish Bay a month ago?
Yeah.
And these happen all over the world, certainly. But I'm curious about the science behind it and what is all involved in that. And then you have infrastructure projects in there as well, and sewer lines and pipelines and stuff like that. So how that all works together, we're going to be joined by Kevin Longley and Ken Mika, who are with the American Society of Civic Engineers, to talk about sinkholes and why we have sinkholes.
All right.
You never know what you're going to learn on this show.
I know.
We
keep it crazy. Keep it fresh.
Absolutely. We did want to start out, though, and acknowledge that it was 2 years ago today that the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Roe versus Wade, essentially ending women's legal right to have an abortion. Wisconsinites have seen abortion access disappear and return because we went back to a ban from the 1860s, as one does, before women even had the right to vote. That was ultimately overturned, and abortions have resumed here in Wisconsin, only in three places, though.
Madison, Milwaukee, and I believe
Sheboygan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the two-year anniversary of the overturn of Dobbs much more on Wednesday. We're going to be joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
What?
Yes, our friend who's been very busy lately.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, of course, we have Dr. Laura Hanks also at 11:33 every Wednesday for public service announcement. So we will be talking about what has happened around the country since the overturn of Roe versus Wade. A very good opinion piece in today's Cap Times from Senator Tammy Baldwin, talking again about women today have essentially fewer rights than we did 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good.
No. I mean, it sounds like to me Wednesday, that second hour, that's when they're going to be
11, the whole 11 o'clock hour.
It's going to be, that's tune in.
And there have been some recent cases from around the country, specifically another one from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Where this man's wife, this was a wanted pregnancy.
Yes.
She was having trouble. She started miscarrying. They would not treat her with an actual abortion. They sent her home with pills three different times until ultimately he found her in a pool of blood in their bathroom, and she almost died. So we'll be talking about that considerably more coming up on Wednesday. Wanted to start off with, though, well, this seems good. Huh.
What?
Again, also going to back to the Cap Times and I love his opinion pieces. Andy's Weifel, or Dave's Weifel, I apologize, is editor emeritus of the Cap Times. And he points out that there was quite a column from Wisconsin's former Lieutenant Governor, Rebecca Clayfish. She apparently had an opinion piece in the Wisconsin State Journal earlier in the month where Mrs. Clayfish said, "We have to be able to trust our elections," saying that too many Wisconsinites don't trust the voting process anymore.
I'm sorry. I got to take my earphones off and clean them out. Did I hear that correctly?
You did.
Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish.
Yep.
Republican.
Quote, "I can say that Wisconsin's our elections are as secure as any state's. We have seen real results, and our elections are overseen by hundreds of devoted poll watchers and workers with integrity and a critical eye to prevent cheating," unquote. What a different day it is.
Yes.
It's amazing. She was all supportive of the fraudulent election lies that helped plant the seeds so many people no longer trust our elections. She did admit on a Sunday talk show that Joe Biden did win the election, but at that point still expressing doubts about how the election was conducted.
Yes, there it is again. That's let's mark that on the wall here. Let's see here. Eric Hovde has done it.
Mm-hmm.
Van Wongard has done it.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca Clayfish has done it. And, other people who just, the election's over. We need to accept the results. They don't have to say that Joe Biden wins. They have to admit that he won. That's the difference nowadays. But we don't like the way the election was conducted. There were questions in there, there are questions, there's shenanigans that was happening, but let's all move on together and vote and bank those votes, everybody.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. And we've talked about this before, completely different message from Brian Schimming.
Yeah.
Who's now the head of the Wisconsin Republican Party. And now they're all about, oh yes, bank your votes and vote early. Everything is good. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sure where they're coming down on drop boxes.
I do not think they're for drop boxes. I have not heard anything personally come out there. I mean, there's the case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court to rule the validity of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And I do not think the GOP in Wisconsin is pro drop box at this point. They are pro early voting. Thank goodness. It only took you how many decades? Thanks, everybody. Really helping to dispel the rumors and the myths. I'm sure a lot of people now just trust it implicitly because you say it.
Well, and after decades of intentionally trying to undermine trust in our elections, now it's like, well, whoops, we're losing a chance to get more votes.
Yeah. A whole movie was made trying to discourage and discredit the 2020 election and finally got just the last bit of it debunked away. But the problem is the damage is done. And as long as the leader of their party, the MAGA party, is standing on podiums at rallies around the country, shaking his fist in the air saying these elections are stolen, drop boxes are cheating, early voting's cheating, the paper is more secure, the paper on the day of, It feels like for their side, too little, too late. I mean, anyone who has half a brain in their head knows, yeah, I can vote early. A lot of people do. That's fine. But there's a contingency of people they're done. They're going to vote on the day, which is fine. Vote on the day if you want.
That's great.
But not because you think your voting is more safe and more secure and more American because you're doing it on the day of. They've damaged it too hard.
Brian Schimming for months sought to create a public campaign to the party faithful to embrace absentee voting in order to fight the Democratic turnout. But at the same time, the former president even said when he was in Waukesha a couple weeks ago, his preferred voting strategy is one-day voting with paper ballots.
Yep. I mean, we have that clip of Ron Johnson we played last week where he said that it was cheating as well. I mean, it's just they can't get their message straight. And Brian Schimming, and I mean, I talked about this in December of 2022. He has been talking about this since he got into office that month. But he spent the better part of last year, of 2023, just being another troll on Twitter, saying the same old trash lines of the GOP, not putting any substance out there, and not whipping up support. And now in the past, like, 3-4 months, it's been bank your vote, everybody.
Right. We need to harvest those ballots.
Get out. Even if you find them in the gutter, you take those ballots. I'm just kidding. So
when Trump was in Green Bay, he again sought to dampen trust in Wisconsin's election system by promoting the false claim he would have won in 2020 if it hadn't been for election fraud driven by absentee voting in Milwaukee.
And, of course.
And Madison, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Everywhere else was fine.
Everywhere else. Waukesha, great.
Oh, yes.
Bequanago, love you.
Yes.
You know, Osseo, love your pies, love your voting. But, man, those evil, evil Madison and Milwaukee.
Voters, right? Just bad people.
Lots of counting, lots of ballot dumps.
And just as a reminder, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, said that they know inherently.
Yes.
They know inherently that there are tons of people who are not citizens who are voting. They just don't have any proof. But they know it.
Yes.
Just in the fiber of their souls.
In that gut. It's in that gut. Just speaking of speakers, I'm sure, like, you know, if people are like, well, Rebecca Clayfish, they might be like, well, she's a rhino. You know who isn't a rhino? I mean, at least to some people. Robin Voss, who also said the election was secure and safe. Which, by the way, I didn't tell you this. I was driving on the backcountry roads of Wisconsin in southeastern, like, in Racine County. I found the headquarters of the Recall Voss
really
attempt. It's a dude's house, but it's well marked. It's a huge yard sign that just says Recall Voss, and I almost stopped and took a picture, but there were people behind me. It was hilarious. Good luck on that third attempt.
I believe this is a second.
Yeah.
All right, when we return, glad that's over. All the details on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kelby on the board. Well done there, Calvin. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Oh, thank goodness that is over. California guy, Lake Sitting X throwing California guy, Eric Hovde. Over the weekend, he had been having this campaign about whether or not he should shave his mustache or keep his mustache. Really, what Wisconsinites want to talk about, not clean water or child care or access to health care or, I don't know, getting some of the money that we've been sitting on now for a couple of years back out into communities, actually working for people. This was what the Hovde campaign has spent the last couple of weeks on, and he's going to keep it. Yay.
We did it, folks. Our long local stash mare is over. I told you this weekend that I saw one of his ads on the television at the restaurant we were at. It's just another ad with him talking about his Wisconsin bona fides. He's like, I'm a fourth generation Wisconsinite. I went to high school here. I went to college. Cool. You said that earlier this year.
We all know that.
What do you want to do? Like, tell me. Like, even if you want to say, like, the border or national defense, give me something. Even give me the GOP regular stuff. But it's like I'm Eric Hovde. Yeah, I'm from Wisconsin. And that's it. What about my stash?
Well, and I am amazed that Yes, that this is the thing his campaign decided to focus on. And I understand you're trying to find something lighthearted, but maybe explain some of your policies first. Maybe actually get into some specifics about how you would address inflation, Eric Hovde. What are you going to do that's going to make a difference?
What are you as a businessman, because they love this trope, what are you as a businessman going to do to help run America better as a business? Now, we've seen time and time again, this is a failed exercise because a business person doesn't run government any better. But do something. Like, you're embarrassing yourself and you're embarrassing your party and you're embarrassing the state. You look like I don't want to work for him. I don't want to have to work for him, but I was if he was doing the issue ads like every other week, putting out a video and something on his website, and then the next week you do something about the stash, fine. You're trying to look magnanimous of the people. But right now, you look like the guy at the party trying to horn in on the conversation. Like, look at me. I enjoy Wisconsin football as well.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. David Clark even weighing in over the weekend on Twitter.
Oh, God, what did he say?
And he said, don't be funny. He essentially said, I know you're trying to be funny. Don't. And fire your campaign manager is essentially the former sheriff said.
He called him out. Wow.
I know.
That
is something.
I mean, I'm surprised he didn't say, you know what, guys, I'm going to ride in the prime. We're still in primary days. I have a horse. I'll ride in it. I'll save this election. Yeehaw. Look at my clearly dyed goatee.
Don't you think David Clark is a little hurt? No one kind of urged him to run against Senator Baldwin?
I mean, if he is, I'm not crying over him. I'm glad that anyone who did urge him to vote, because I'm sure there are people who said, yeah, go ahead, do it, sir. Do it, Sheriff, because he still calls himself Sheriff.
That's his handle on Twitter, is at Sheriff Clark. Yeah, you're not a sheriff anymore. No, you were.
Yep.
You were, and you could say former sheriff. I would have no problem with that, but yeah, you're not a sheriff
anymore. I tip my cowboy hat to you, sir. I'm so glad that he didn't throw his hat in the ring. At this point, I think it is too late. I think everyone accepts that Eric Hovde.
Absolutely.
But to see David Clark come out and say something that I so thoroughly agree with, too.
Isn't that shocking?
I've been saying that for weeks. Fire everyone who's not your family off that campaign. Get someone who has at least, I don't know, a seventh grade education.
No, I think, Eric, people are listening, you are on the right track, my friend. Don't change a thing. Don't give people any specifics about what your policies would be or what you plan to do. Go jump in another lake.
And Jane, we're not talking about the important point of this whole stash campaign he's been doing with the keep it or get rid of it. How did you vote? How do you vote in that campaign? How do you vote in that election? Pro or anti-stash? Was it paper ballots? Was it drop boxes? Could you day ahead? Could you early vote? How did you vote? How do we know this whole thing isn't rigged?
Did you have to cast your vote through your barber?
Oh my God. Did I have to show ID? Oh my God. These are the questions are not asking. We're blowing their minds with every segment here at Matt and Air on Air. They're going to blow it wide open. Eric Hovde, is your stash really safe? That's what I ask.
Wow. It's Monday. Texter listening on WAUK here in Waukesha. We were talking about early voting in the previous segment. Don't you think it's to our advantage that many Republican voters believe that they can only vote one way on one day? Only smart Democratic voters know the super secret other way via the U.S. Postal Service. More ways to vote equals more votes for our team.
You know, that super secret, sexy way of voting through the mail.
It is super secret. Andrew from Maine with a comment on the live stream. I thought it was the goal of the Wisconsin GOP Senate committee to not pass any new laws. So maybe that is his stand.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, you're right. That would be in keeping with the words of our current senior senator, Ron Johnson.
Don't do anything.
I'd be happy if we didn't pass another law. I mean, that's that might not be word for word, but those are the sentiments. He'd be happy if they didn't pass another law.
Calvin, do we have time to play the totally real and completely legitimate attack ad or no? No, not enough time. All right. That's fine. We'll do it on the other side.
Yeah.
We'll do it on the other side. After the news, Luke Mathers will be here to talk about this is a great thing, the effect that Top Chef is having on Wisconsin restaurants and industries. Traveling by Fork is on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot going to be joining us coming up at 10:50 to talk about the storms we had on Saturday. And then we have more weather that is coming in tonight. Talking 60 to 70 mile an hour winds. And of course, it's going to be like between 1 and 4 a.m., which is just prime time for all of us. So Brittany will be here to let us know what to expect and if it will be affecting you. We are joined right now by another colleague, executive producer here at Civic Media, Luke Mathers. Good morning, Luke. Thank you so much for squeezing us in today. How are you? You are muted.
If you could see the live stream, he's like,
He's yes. Perplexed.
Indeed. Yes.
See, that's what happens. I was filling in for, I use this as audio or visual only, not audio. So I wasn't muted, but my settings were nerfed to zero. So I apologize.
That's all right.
I apologize.
Not you made the people
well, Jane. How about yourself?
We're good. And I saw this article in the Cap Times this morning by reporter Lindsay Christians. And I thought, we need to talk about this, and the man who can help us talk about this is our very own Luke Mathers, because you are a big Top Chef fan. You're a big foodie. You and your wife watch a lot of cooking programs, and this article by Lindsay Christian says the Top Chef effect is a game changer for local businesses. So,
yes, and I appreciate Lindsay's article, because for the last 12 to 14 weeks, the Top Chef effect has just been Greg Bach rolling his eyes every time I appear with Mr. Pat Kreitlow on Up North News to discuss the previous night's episode on our Thursday morning check-in. So that's what the Top Chef effect that I've been used to over the past several weeks. But glad to see there's actually a monetary effect here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Well, I'm forgetting who we were talking with. It's called Travel by Fork. So there are people who will actually vacation specifically so they can hit specific restaurants and check out, you know, specific specialties and things like that. And this is an actual thing, which is good. Craig Trost is communications director from Travel Wisconsin, and he is quoted Again, in this Cap Times article, even just a little screen time has been a game changer for businesses. Supper clubs in Madison that were only on the screen for a split second are seeing increased visits, which is, again, this is great.
Yeah, it's huge. The fact that all these Wisconsin restaurants, these Wisconsin cheese manufacturers, producers all around the state of Wisconsin are seeing a bump. And it's not necessarily something that everybody can see, though, as well, Jane. Like, we know that there's going to be some tangible benefits to Top Chef filming their 21st season here in Wisconsin that aren't yet realized. But the numbers that some manufacturers and restaurants have already in hand is pretty wild.
It's impressive. In late April, cheesemaker Andy Hatchett, Upland's Cheese Company, saw a massive spike for their Pleasant Ridge Reserve. Sales were up 3,792%.
Jeez.
Representing 1,100 pounds of cheese sold to almost 700 new customers.
That's a lot of cheese.
Must be some miraculous cheese. Do you have a personal experience with Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese?
I have not tried it yet, but it was one of the cheeses featured on the cheese episode of Coming to Wisconsin. We all knew that the Top Chef calendar would have at least one episode dedicated to cheese.
Absolutely.
And we saw that one of the featured cheeses now, because this company can kind of see where its numbers are at, and they're willing to share them, which is an awesome thing as well.
Right.
Is that there is a huge uptick for demand in these products that were featured on the season.
2 months after the cheese episode aired, this cheese company is still running at about 731% in sales.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Vital. Oh my gosh, like, that's fantastic.
For these restaurants, and we know that the pandemic was hardest on not only our healthcare providers, but on the hospitality industry. And so the fact coming out of the pandemic that Top Chef could feature manufacturers and restaurants throughout the state of Wisconsin, this is huge. And so, like, this is going to be a lifeline to a lot of local businesses. Hopefully it's just a starting off point so that we're going to be able to continue to see this. Because as the folks over at Travel Wisconsin and a lot of these other travel destination organizations are noting, all of this material is stuff that they could share going forward. Like, it's not going anywhere. Like,
right.
They can continue to highlight this season of Top Chef over and over and over again. And so it's going to be really great to see all of the different things that will come from the 21st season being filmed here in Wisconsin.
What were some of your favorite highlights from some of the shows? Because again, I know you were very dedicated and you watched every single one.
Oh, I've seen every single episode of all seasons of Top Chef, so, but I was especially tuned in. Sometimes in the past, Jane, I've kind of got life that will come up and we weren't necessarily able to watch it all in real time. There were plenty of seasons like that. This one, Mr. Kreitlo made sure that I was doing my homework because it was Thursday morning, the following morning after the night premiered. So I always watched it night of, which was not necessarily the routine in the last couple of years, but I was very dedicated to making sure that I could help Mr. Kreitlo with the content and give that perspective of a Top Chef super fan, because Pat had never seen the show before, and Greg, you're not a fan.
No. He doesn't like the word chef tested.
Oh, God. Why?
I was avoiding it, Greg. I was avoiding it.
And
she
I respect
said it,
you for that, Luke. I'll just say, it's just two things I know on Thursday morning these past few months on Pat Kreitlo's show. There's they were going to talk about Top Chef, and then all of a sudden I'd lose time for about 8 minutes.
Boy, you just blacked out or something?
Yes, but well, I thought about other things, more important things like guitar constructions. But the thing I will say about this, this effect I think is fantastic. I love this. I looked at the picture that they posted on that op-ed, and I was like, Dan made it to the top three. I love his restaurant, Dan Dan. They make amazing food. And just that alone is a huge accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But what this show has done for Wisconsin, I think is fantastic. Like, it's not my jam of a show. That's fine. It's yours. Awesome. But the fact that, you know, what did you say? How many percent increase?
He's still, this cheese company has had a 731% increase.
Exactly. I think that's so great.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that these companies that see these increases have good social media people on their teams who can really take it from where it is now and just keep it going, because it's all about that, you know, that long game. Where are they going to be in a year? Can they keep it going in a year, 2 years, 5 years, grow, do their thing?
Travel Wisconsin actually has a Top Chef culinary trail laid out on their website. And the two restaurants that have seen the biggest boost are Dan Jacobs' own restaurants. Yeah. He owns Dan Van Wright and Dan Dan in the Third Ward in Milwaukee. Followed quickly by a fine dining chef's table concept, Esther Ev.
Ooh.
I haven't been yet, but I really, really, really want to go now. And like, it was on my like must visit list for a while now, but I have not gotten there. And it's unfortunate that I've waited so long, because now it's only going to be popular. More popular and harder to get a reservation.
Yeah. And he said too, Dan Jacobs said what the show did is basically kickstarted us back to 2019, where we were before the pandemic. Because again, the pandemic was just brutal for restaurants.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I hope the effect is there for other restaurants featured, not just Dan Jacobs, who was one of the finalists. And you asked how I thought about the season. The final episode. See, Greg, I saved you last week. We talked a lot more Top Chef than just 8 minutes. Because both Pat and I, and a lot of viewers that were tuned in for the entire season, were fairly disappointed, because it seemed during the finale that all signs were pointing to Dan Jacobs coming home with the title Top Chef.
Yeah.
But his competitor, Danny Garcia, edged him out. I think it came down to the technicality of like how technically difficult some of the dishes were that Danny cooked versus Dan. But in watching in real time, it really felt like Dan Jacobs was going to be the next Top Chef.
Was it rigged?
I believe in election integrity when it comes to the state of Wisconsin's elections and the Top Chef final table. So I don't want to go as far to say it was rigged. But I do want to say, because this is not necessarily an election, it is a judging, I think the judges might have got it wrong. Or at least the producers led us to believe that it was going to go one way, and for the suspense of reality TV, it went a different
way. And that's exactly what it is, I think.
Because we're still talking about it, but we would be talking about it anyways, because it was here in Wisconsin.
Right, right.
The question I have, and you know, Luke, you'll know this a lot better than I will, is as... Of course, if you are the Top Chef winner, you win any of these big competitions, these national television competition shows, that can mean great things. You can open your own restaurant, open a second restaurant, whatever. But I have to imagine that even as a finalist, a top three comes with its own set of rewards that you can capitalize on. And yes, did we want Dan to win? I wanted Dan to win, and I didn't watch the show, but I wanted Dan to win for various reasons. But It's still a high honor to be top three.
Just the exposure. It's just the exposure itself, right? That really makes a difference and gets people thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, and it's important to note that there's 20 previous winners of Top Chef before this. Not all of them are extremely rememberable, but there are plenty of contestants that were on Top Chef that went on, that did not win, that have very, very notable careers when it comes to the food industry. So whether that be going back to their restaurants and just making killer food and racking up awards like James Beard or Michelin Star Awards, or if it's continuing to be more of a celebrity in the culinary scene, Carla, I'm blanking on Carla's last name, but she was one of the finalists for one of the first early on seasons, did not win, but she is a huge celebrity when it comes to Food Network now.
We call that Richard the Adam Blaze. Lambert effect.
Yeah. Well, this was all before even Adam Lambert on American Idol. It was like Richard Blaze was a runner-up in season 4, lost out to the hometown chef Stephanie Azard in Chicago. But he is now up there having shows with Gordon Ramsay.
Wow.
When it comes to Next Level Chef or Next Level Kitchen is on Fox, and Richard Blaze is up there. He came back on a Top Chef All-Star season and won that one, but he was expected to win his and did not win his first appearance on Top Chef. So there are plenty of runner-ups that either return to the Top Chef kitchen in the future or go on to have really terrific careers when it comes to either their hometown restaurants and just continuing to cook great food, or on other programs that capitalize on cooking competitions.
That leads into a comment from Andrew in Maine. He said, and Top Chef has done all-star seasons where they bring back non-winners before. And that, I mean, seems like the perfect platform for Dan. If they approached him, he had the time and wanted to do it again. So,
yeah. And I know it was very trying on him throughout the season. He does have a rare degenerative disease, which he wanted to bring attention to. He has Kennedy's disease. And so one of the episodes about the middle of the season, he does have a slip and fall in the middle of the kitchen, and it is a concern during one of the quick fires. And he struggled with quick fires throughout the entire season because it is a time constraint and you have to move quicker, which is something that he had a hard time doing. But as he alluded to in the finale, bringing awareness to Kennedy's disease was a huge aspect of why he wanted to get on the show and compete.
Oh, good for
and
him.
So, yeah. He's doing a lot more than just cooking as well when it comes to his appearances. So I would not be shocked to see him, but I would also understand with the conditions that he's in if he didn't want to go through another season. I think we can all say that the platform that he brought, being representing the state of Wisconsin and being a finalist in this season of Top Chef, was tremendous alone. And he doesn't necessarily have to come back. It was great to see him compete and represent all season long.
Well, the whole thing is just wonderful. I'm so happy for everyone here in Wisconsin who took part and who is benefiting from the Top Chef Effect. And Lindsay Christian's article, The Top Chef Effect is a Game Changer for Local Businesses. We'll put that in our show notes after the show is over. Luke Mathers, thank you so very much for joining us, my friend. We will see you soon.
Always a pleasure.
Stay close. Brittany Merlot joining us for an additional weather and wine next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, the debate Thursday night. All you have to do is tune into your local civic media station. We're going to have special coverage, which starts at 7:30 on Thursday. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell and Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, will be anchoring our coverage from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison. Democratic President Joe Biden, former Republican President Donald Trump, taking the debate stage in Atlanta on Thursday evening. It's expected to last 90 minutes. No studio audience. Yes, they're going to cut off their mics when it's not their turn to talk. Good. Just my opinion. We are joined with an extra edition of Weather and Wine because of all the weather we've been having. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, joins us now. Good morning, Brittany. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. I have a feeling you're going to cut my mic with what I have to say today.
We would never cut your mic because you're polite.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So that was pretty wild on Saturday. I was watching the radar as that stuff started coming in, and southwestern Wisconsin and into the central part of Wisconsin, they just got creamed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was from the rainfall to the tornadoes to, I mean, they're looking at six potential tornadoes. I know four were confirmed. One of them was an EF2 just south of Janesville, it looks like. So some scary stuff, which can change really rapidly. And this spring, summer, we've been so active. And even in a slight risk, which, you know, in years past when the Storm Prediction Center would put out a slight risk, a lot of the times, a lot of us meteorologists cried wolf in a sense. Stuff didn't happen.
Right.
This year is a different story. I mean, every time something keeps happening, we've had 33 tornadoes in the state of Wisconsin, and our average is 23. So we've already surpassed it by 10. And now I'm looking at my little crystal ball. Can you see what's in here? Can you guys see that? It's another storm system headed our way.
Oh, I was hoping it was money.
I know.
That's really disturbing, though, that we've had that many tornadoes. It's not even July yet. I mean, granted, next week is July, but we got a long way to go before we are going to start moving away from these kinds of conditions.
Absolutely. I mean, for Wisconsin, our severe weather season peak is usually July and kind of into August. That's when we get the moisture and the humidity and the heat. But we're not even there yet, like you mentioned. So it's a wild ride. And then we've got so much rain. Yeah. Portions of like Black River, I think, up towards Baraboo, Adams, they got about 5 inches of rainfall over the weekend. And that Mississippi River is flooding, the Wisconsin River, the Black River. I mean, they're all at their banks. And then with this additional rain, we could see another half an inch to an inch and a half overnight tonight.
And it's this storm tonight is going to be coming in really early in the morning. So everything I'm seeing, Brittany, and even checking the National Weather Service forecast, they're saying between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m., which not that there's ever a good time to have severe weather, but overnight just is the worst because people are sleeping. And if it's pounding rain, yes, but you might not realize that your basement is flooding or that, you know, because it's just not ideal.
Yeah.
No, that means we're not going to get much sleep tonight. I think a lot of us are going to have that anxiety of what's next, what's coming. Like you said, is my basement flooding? What are these storms bringing? And I will say that I think mainly in the northwestern parts of the state. Now, for you guys up north, it's going to start around midnight or so, 9 o'clock to midnight. Some of those really strong storms firing up with a tornado potential, a very large hail potential, too. That kind of pushes in towards Eau Claire, where they could see the size of eggs. Remember us joking about that before? Well, here it is, that 2-inch hail size potentially. And then as that line starts pushing towards Wausau, Stevens Point, the Fox Valley, that's going to be after midnight. Definitely 70-mile-per-hour wind gusts are possible. Some of that large hail could still be lingering. And then, of course, as it goes towards Milwaukee, Madison, further down southeast, we are looking at that 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. kind of time frame with the damaging winds, heavy rain, and potential flooding, which we just don't want any more rain. We've had enough.
We absolutely have had enough. And our farmers now are having the opposite problem because we've been in drought conditions for the last couple of years, and now they can't get into their fields because they're too wet.
Yes, and there's a lot of workshops going on of how to help these farmers that they haven't been able to plant. How can they help get more money? It's a mess throughout the entire state. And now, too, with the flooding, I was just hearing that they'll close down portions of the shipping on the Mississippi. So that's going to affect even down the line as well.
Well, you said this morning that the drought was so bad they couldn't ship on the Mississippi because the waters were so low. Now that they're so high, they still can't. Oh, my goodness.
Well, because again, though, when they're moving, and then they're going to be pushing these floodwaters further over their banks, right? If they're operating up and down the Mississippi.
Exactly. And then if you think about it, too, if they're going underneath bridges, there's height limits.
Sure.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like everyone asks me, how was the weather by you? I feel like in Kenosha, we just get spared so many times when there's massive storms, tornado, all the whole thing. And then be like, how was it in Kenosha? It was drizzly. I got some water on me. I'm like, I never, and I'm not saying I want that or I'm like, ha, ha, ha. It's just so odd to me that just
you get missed.
An hour and a half north, homes get destroyed and trees fall. And I'm just sitting here going like, this doesn't look like weather to me.
Oh, yes. That lake, though, she does do a lot of protection, like you're saying.
Is that what it is, Brittany?
Yeah, it's a whole different air mass. There's different temperatures, things going on. So it usually kills a lot of systems, but sometimes it can enhance it.
Yeah.
But those are rare times, obviously. But I noticed the same thing when I was living in the Fox Valley. Everything would dissipate as soon as it went towards Green Bay. And I wanted a good storm, but I couldn't get one.
So you moved to Wausau.
Yep. I'm going to the middle.
And she's getting them now.
Yeah.
Sure am.
Brittany Merlot is a meteorologist for Civic Media, just talking about the rain we had over the weekend, the tornadoes, and now we have another round of bad weather that's going to be coming in tonight after midnight. So just want to give everybody a heads up about that so you're prepared, you're not surprised, maybe make some, I don't know, just make some arrangements, be ready.
Call someone who might need help. Yeah, charge your cell phone.
Charge your cell phone.
Get in touch with parents. Oh, yeah.
Weather radio.
Yeah.
Yep. Battery operated. So if your power goes out, this is still going to wake you up because I just want to go to sleep tonight.
I know. Brittany Merlot, thank you so very much. We will talk to you Thursday at this same time. Stay close. News is coming up next. Keep it right here. Matinair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why don't we drive in the driving rain? Two, three, four, five. Woo-hoo. Six, seven, eight.